Evelyn's going to open us up in prayer, and then we'll go ahead and say our morning scripture. So if you could all find a seat and be prepared to worship together our Lord. How exciting.
Amen. Good morning, everyone.
Good morning.
Let us stand for the reading of the word. Thank you. We're reading on Psalm 67. Verses 5 to 7. It's not in the teleprompt. Psalm 67, verses 5 to 7. May the Lord praise you with their whole hearts, O God. May the people praise you with their whole hearts, O God. May every man, woman, and child on the earth praise you. The land has supplied a bountiful harvest, and the true God, our God, has poured out his blessing to us all. God is the source of our blessings. May every corner of the earth respect and revere him.
Yes.
Thank you, Lord, for your word. Mm-hmm. Thank you, Lord, for the ears that you gave us, for the eyes that you gave us, for the hands that you gave us, for the feet that you gave us, so we can use all of our senses to praise you and give you honor and be in awe and reverence of you. We thank you, Lord, for this morning. Amen.
That's what we're going to do this morning. We're just going to worship you with all that we've brought to you, with our whole beings, with our hands, with our hearts, with our voice, Lord Jesus, even with our mindset. We're going to worship you this morning. We're going to continue to worship the Lord with our tithes and his offerings as Paul comes and prays over the offering this morning.
Father, again, we thank you for this wonderful time to worship you and to give back to you, Lord. We just are so honored to be able to give, Lord. You supply everything, and it's an honor to give back. So bless these tithes and offering, and may they multiply in work and reaching this community and the entire world. In Jesus' name, amen.
Heavenly Father, we just truly thank you and praise you for everything you've given us, Lord. All increase comes from you, and everything that we have is from you. And I thank you and praise you, Lord God, that as we lovingly honor you, worship you, praise you, glorify you with 10% of all the increase, which is your tithes, and then our offerings above and beyond, which is in following the leading of the Holy Spirit. Lord, I thank you. May we continue to give with cheerful hearts because everything is from you. Lord, I ask and pray your blessings upon each one who has given, Lord, and upon these that are your tithes and our offerings, upon these that are in this basket right here, Lord, I ask and pray that you will bless it and help it to be multiplied for your purposes, for your glory, because you know that Pathway of Hope is part of the church body of Christ around the world, where we want to be a light not only in this community but beyond. Lord, we want this to be used in ways totally and completely glorifying you with the utmost, highest integrity. For we answer to you, Lord God. And I truly thank you and praise you that even 10% of the non-designated tithes and offerings go to help the Foursquare denomination. And also part of that then also in turn helps the Foursquare churches around the world. For we are called the International Church of the Foursquare Gospel. We are not individual. We are all part of one, the body of Christ. So we truly thank you and praise you for that, Lord. We bless you and we thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. So I have a frog in my throat, so you'll have to bear with me. And I'm hoping the frog will go, but if the frog doesn't go, you'll have to bear with me. Yeah, thank you. If you can hold your Bibles, and there's a couple other Bibles in the back if you need one. But I would just appreciate it if you would hold a Bible. There's just, or your iPod or iPad or iPhone, or not an iPod, probably wouldn't have it, but the iPhone and the iPad or the tablet or, yeah. Your little laptop computer. But I'd appreciate it if you would hold it. I'm just going to pray really quick. Yeah, see? Cool. You got it. Yeah. Uh-huh. Yeah. I see it on the iPhone. Okay. Thank you, Lord. Heavenly Father, we come before you right now, and I truly thank you and praise you for your precious, holy word. It is living, it is breathing, and it is powerful. Lord, may we have the ears to hear exactly what you are speaking to us through your Holy Spirit. May we be humbly submitted to you, Lord God, teachable, Lord, for we thank you and praise you for the power in your holy word. And for this time, may I be used as your vessel, your instrument, to speak what you want to speak to them. And Lord, that you will change it up if that's what needs to be, in order to be able to, for them to receive and hear and receive what you have for each of them, Lord. But I thank you and praise you for this time together. Thank you. In Jesus' name, amen. His word is awesome, totally and completely awesome, and I love it. When I prepare for a message, I have such a hard time because I love his word, and I go, oh, this is so good. This is so good. And then I go off and I go, okay, Lord, how do you want to share this? You know, because, you know, if I had 5 hours, okay. But, you know, so I just felt that for right now, we know what the opening scripture was. But I felt that for right now, we should kind of go over a few things. First off, though, I want to read to you something that was very interesting that I received via email from Bernadette Gruber. She is the education domain director over for Four Tucson. They have 12 areas, and so she is the education director. She's an awesome, neat Christian lady, and she sent this out, and it says, on July 4th, 2013, we celebrate 237 years since we cast off tyranny and established our Declaration of Independence, the birth of our great nation.
This was no easy task or casual decision made in haste. For years, the early colonies attempted diplomacy with the King of England, but their efforts were futile and resulted in further bondage. The 56 signers of the Declaration of Independence understood the ramifications of their decision to separate from England. They knew, by signing the Declaration of Independence, that they were, in essence, signing their death warrant, because their actions would be considered treason, which was punishable by death. History confirms that our founding fathers did not take their responsibilities lightly, nor were they unaware of the enormity of the task ahead of them to defend and establish a new nation. They knew they could do it, they could not do it in their own strength. In God we trust was not a casual phrase or a trite remark, but a powerful governing value. They invited God to guide their hearts and mind to establish our nation, and they were dependent upon God for their strength. So they knew Philippians 4:13. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. They knew Proverbs 3:5-6, and they not only knew it, they lived it. Do not trust on your own. Lean not on your own understanding. No. In all your ways, acknowledge the Lord God Almighty, Him, and He will direct your path. They realized that it was not them themselves that they could trust, but they could trust the Almighty God. And they did. They spent many hours seeking Him and praying. It was a tough decision what they made, but they were willing to make it for what they believed was the freedom that God wanted this country to really have. A nation under God, a nation that had the ability to worship the one true living God, but without restrictions, with the freedom to worship the one true living God, as the Holy Spirit led them to do, allowing the Holy Spirit to teach them. Do you remember Isaiah 62? There's some more over there. The word that God gave us. And this was on June 23rd. Do you remember when I saw this big light coming from the hill and I knew that it was where we were meeting? And I saw it a couple days, and then the Lord led me to this. And I changed it up. And then on the new ones, I have written that, you know, a suggestion is anywhere where it says Jerusalem or Zion or something, put our name in there. Not that we're replacing, no, but I'm just saying this is the word of God to us. So therefore, for this time to change it. And then I have it changed up on the way that it says. But I want to review a couple. One I wanted to remind you of is Isaiah chapter 10, and it's the last part of the verse. I wanted to remind you of some of the different meanings of the different ways, I should say, the version said it. New King James Version, lift up a banner for the peoples. The New Century Version, raise the banner as a sign over the people. The New International Reader's Version, raise a banner over the city for the nations to see. Contemporary English. I always want to say Century English, and that's not. Contemporary English Version, raise a banner to help the nations find their way. The Good News Translation, put up a signal so that the nations can know. And the Young's Literal Translation, lift up an ensign over the peoples. And the New English Translation, lift up a signal flag for the nations. We are to let them know who is Lord over this church and over our lives. There should be a signal shouting that out. I want to remind you of verses 4 and 5. You shall no longer be termed forsaken, nor shall your land be any more be termed desolate, or your land be called the deserted wife. You will be called the people God loves. And your land will be called the Bride of God because the Lord loves you. Your name will no longer be deserted and childless, but happily married. As a young man marries a young woman, so will your builder marry you as a bridegroom rejoices. Pleased, happy, delighted over his bride, so will your God rejoice, be full of joy over you. He delights in us and he loves us. So, I wanted to remind you of a couple points on that. And then I wanted to remind you of Matthew chapter 11, verse 28. This was our opening scripture on June 30th. Jesus says, come to me, all ye who are... I'm trying to do the King James Version, which I haven't memorized yet. Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. I want to remind you of some things that rest means. Rest means to, of the Greek, it means to repose, to, by implication, to refresh, to take ease, to give, to take rest, to either give rest or to take the rest. Noah Webster's 1828 American Dictionary of the English Language, repose meant a rest of mind, tranquility, freedom from uneasiness. And refresh, in that dictionary, to cool, to ally heat. Oh yes, Lord, today refresh us here in Tucson, Arizona. Lord, it also says, and says, Lord, it says to give new strength. So Lord, we need your strength to give new strength to a person, to invigorate, to relieve after fatigue, as to refresh the body, to revive, to reanimate after depression, to cheer, to enliven. It also means to improve by new touches, anything impaired, to revive what is drooping as rain refreshes the plants. Rest. Rest also means to cease from labor, work, or performance. Do you remember John chapter 4? And Jesus is at with talking to the woman at the well. He's in Samaria and he's talking to her and he says, you know, the water that I shall give to people will become to them a fountain of water springing up into everlasting life. That's refreshing. That's invigorating. And then he goes on in John chapter 7 and he reminds us about the Holy Spirit. And he says, this was on the last day of that great day of the feast. And Jesus stood and cried out saying, if anyone thirsts, let him come to me, Jesus Christ, and drink. He who believes in me, as the scripture has said, out of his heart will flow rivers of living water. And he spoke this concerning the Holy Spirit, whom those believing in him would receive. At that time, the Holy Spirit hadn't been given yet because Jesus wasn't yet glorified. But he was telling them of what was to come. Jesus has been glorified, and we now have that privilege to have that Holy Spirit. Freedom in Christ. That was last week. July 7th. And then I want to go over some of the definitions that I found in Noah Webster's 1828 Dictionary of the English Language. And it says, to remove from anything a thing of any encumbrance or obstruction. On my phone, I have my iPhone, I have three timers that go off. One at 8 o'clock, saying praise the Lord, you know, because I love it that this is the day that the Lord has made. I will rejoice and be glad in it. And then at 1 o'clock, I have a sound that's like a sonar sound. I found that because God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, they are one. And I'm asking the Holy Spirit to recognize any obstacles in my way with his sonar detector, and that he will take care of it, either removing it, destroying it, or helping me to know an alternative route and to go around. But to help me to know and recognize that obstacle, and how does he want to take care of it? Will he just, does he want me to pray? What does he want me to do? How does he want me to handle this? And then at 7 o'clock at the end of the day, complete. Towards the end of the day. I'm such a night owl, so, but it's the number that means complete. And I love to have that towards the Lord. And then it has like a harp going up to heaven. And then the morning one is like an upbeat type. You know, this is the day that the Lord has made. I will rejoice and be glad in it. Praise God. Freedom. Freedom in Christ. This dictionary, the definitions to remove, again, any encumbrance, as I said. To disengage from, to rid, to strip, to clear. To set at liberty, to rescue or release from slavery, captivity, or confinement. To loose, to disentangle, to disengage. To release from bondage as to free a slave. To exempt. And then it gave the scripture, Romans chapter 6, verse 7, for he who has died has been freed from sin. And it reminds me of when we have died, when we repent of our sins, we are new creatures. As 2 Corinthians 5:17 talks about, behold, the old is gone, the new has come. We are born again through the Spirit in Jesus Christ. And then to release from obligation or duty. Just as we heard what Bernadette Gruber talked about, we are no longer under Satan's authority. We are no longer obligated to sin or under that governmental authority. We are released from that obligation. We are released of what, where that leads, eternal death and damnation in hell. We have a promise of eternity in heaven. Philippians chapter 3, verses 7 through 10. But what things were gained to me, these I have counted loss for Christ. Yet indeed, I also count all things lost for the excellence of the knowledge of Christ Jesus, my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things and count them as rubbish, that I may gain Christ and be found in him, not having my own righteousness, which is from the law, but that which is found through the faith in Christ, the righteousness which is from God by faith, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection. And the fellowship of his sufferings, being conformed to his death. And then it goes on in verses 11 and 12. If by any means I may attain to the resurrection from the dead, not that I have already attained or am already perfected, but I press on that I may lay hold of that for which Christ Jesus has also laid hold of me. He goes on to say he leaves the past behind and he keeps pressing on and looking forward, because the past, when we repent of our sins, that's forgiven totally and completely. And he wants us to continue to look forward and to receive his mercy, to receive his grace. His mercies are new every single morning, and he wants us to rejoice in that and to be glad in that. So I was looking up what resurrection means. Well, resurrection comes from resuscitate. Resuscitate, the transitive verb, to revive from apparent death or from unconsciousness. Revitalize. Intransitive verb, come to or revive. you're going to hear some of the words that God has been speaking to us over these last few weeks. Resuscitate some of the synonyms. Listen. Freshen. Recharge. Recreate. Refresh. Refreshen. Regenerate. Rejuvenate. Repair. Restore. Renew. Revitalize. Revive. Revivify. And then related words, makeover, overhaul, reclaim, recondition, reconstitute, redesign, redevelop, redo, re-engineer, refurbish, rehab, rehabilitate, remake, remodel, renovate, refill, replenish, resupply, modernize, update. A lot of powerful words. The resurrection has all of that power for each and every one of us. Amen. And it is including what God has been speaking to us these last weeks. The near antonyms: extinguish, kill, quench, suppress. Well, we can do that. The mighty armor of God, as mentioned in Ephesians 6:10 through 20, it talks about that, about how we can quench the fiery darts of the evil one. Extinguish, or some of the translations say. And it talks about how that we are dealing in a spiritual warfare, the spiritual heavenly realms. We have this earth, but there's a lot going on. And there is power that we have, as Matthew chapter 6 talks about in the Lord's Prayer. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Power. That power includes the resurrection power of Jesus, when we have Jesus as our Lord and Savior. 2 Timothy chapter 1 verse 7 talks about, for God did not give us a spirit of timidity, of cowardice, of craven and cringing and fawning fear, but he, the Lord God Almighty, he has given us a spirit of power and of love and of calm and well-balanced mind and discipline and self-control. Talk about when I was going through panic and anxiety disorder and depression, was I ever leaning on this verse, claiming it day after day and not giving up. And praise God, eventually I was totally and completely healed and delivered. Took a while, but I was claiming this word. And this was from the Amplified, because I love that Amplified part of it. And I needed that when I was struggling with that. But when I looked at the Greek for the definition for power, it's dunamis. And the dunamis word comes from another Greek word, but dunamis means force. It's literally or figuratively, specifically, miraculous power, usually by implicating miracle itself. We have, because of the miraculous power of the resurrection of Jesus Christ, he then has given that miraculous power to us. It is also goes on, it's the ability. It's an abundance. Remember, Jesus Christ says that he came to give us life, and life more abundantly. Meaning might, or mightily, mighty, or a mighty deed. Worker of miracle or miracles. That's one of the gifts of the Holy Spirit mentioned in 1 Corinthians 14. 13. 12. Sorry. 12. Well, I'll go down. Do I hear? Power, strength, violence, mighty, wonderful work. And then remember when I said it comes from another Greek word, that Greek word, a couple of the meanings is to be able or possible. Anything is possible to those who believe. You are able to do all things through Christ who strengthens you. Be able, can do, be possible, be of power. Is not in our own. John chapter 12, verses 27 through 28, Jesus predicts his death on the cross. And he goes on to say, "Now my soul is troubled. And what shall I say? Father, save me from this hour. But for this purpose, I came to this hour. Father, glorify your name." In other words, not my will, but your will be done, Lord. And then a voice came from heaven saying, "I have both glorified it and will glorify it again." Wow. Praise God. 1 Peter chapter 4, verses 12 to 14. Power of the resurrection is ours. Suffering for God's glory is a subtitle. Beloved, do not think it strange concerning the fiery trial, which is a try to you, as though some strange thing happened to you, but rejoice to the extent that you partake of Christ's sufferings, that when his glory is revealed, you may also be glad with exceeding joy. If you are reproached for the name of Christ, blessed are you, for the Spirit of glory and the God rests upon you. On their part, he is blasphemed, but on your part, he is glorified. We need to remember this verse because there's going to be more and more persecution going on in the world. And we need to pray for those that are persecuted now and those that are martyred. But we also need to pray because persecution is going on right now in the United States for those that are Christians, Christ followers. And we need to pray for them and we need to stand strong. Praise God that he will be glorified. And we can be strengthened and be able to do this by the power of the Holy Spirit, just as Jesus was able to. John chapter 5, verse 30, Jesus explains how I can do nothing. I can of myself do nothing. But he goes on to say, "As I hear, I judge, and my judgment is righteous, because I do not seek my own will, but the will of the Father who sent me." This is our perfect example, not to seek our own will, but the will of the Father. Jesus talks about that in John chapter 15, verse 5. He says, "I am the vine, and you are the branches," those who are followers of Jesus Christ, those who believe in Jesus as their personal Lord and Savior. "He who abides in me, and I in him, bears much fruit. For without me, Jesus Christ, you can do nothing." Matthew chapter 11, verses 28 through 30. Do you remember this one? We talked about this one. This was the opening scripture on June 30th. "Come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." But then remember, we went on that verse the following last week. "Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I'm gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." We have the power of Jesus' name. We have the power of the resurrection with us. That resurrection power is ours. The opening scripture on July 7th. The New King James Version. "Stand fast, therefore, in the liberty by which Christ has made us free. And do not be entangled again with a yoke of bondage." Stand fast. The J.B. Phillips New Testament says, "Plant your feet firmly, therefore, within the freedom of that Christ has won for us, and do not let yourselves be caught again in the shackles of slavery." We are not to go back into the government of this world. No, we have the government of the heavenly kingdom with us. We have God the Father on the throne in heaven. Jesus seated at the right hand, who has now given the power of the Holy Spirit to speak to us, to empower us by his name. By his blood, we are empowered, and the Holy Spirit helps us to do the Father's will. that he has for us. He is the one to come and help us, to empower us. It is not by us. It is by him that we can do this. We are under God's authority. And we are to obey him just as Jesus did. And Jesus was moving in the authority of his heavenly Father, empowered by the Holy Spirit, when the Holy Spirit came upon him in order to go out and do the ministry work that God had called him to do. And because remember, Jesus was fully man and fully God. And we need to remember that. And this is our example. But this is the power of the resurrection that we have with us to work within this world that we live in. But the power of the spiritual realm can come down and work within the physical realm that we see. And we need to remember to work in that power, to claim that power, to move in that power, to rely on that power, not on our own. We need to move in the power of the resurrection, in that resurrection power. Psalm chapter 34, verse 7, this is cool because I like this. Because it's like, not only do we have the Holy Spirit, not only do we have the name of Jesus Christ, not only do we have the blood covering us, not only do we have the power of by his stripes we are healed, not only do we have the power of this living word to declare and proclaim and pray over our lives, speaking boldly over our lives, claiming this, and over our loved ones and those around us. Because we should love each and every one and care for them. Because those who are not going to heaven are headed to hell, whether they know it or not. They need the truth. They are blinded right now. And they need that precious gold of truth to guide and direct them. It's like they're blinded, walking around going, I don't know. There's truth right there, right near them. And they don't see it. But it's treasure. It is beautiful. Do you see slide 61? I found this and I go, wow, that is so perfect. It's like, here they are. See, they're made out of gold in a sense because God made them out of love. But they're blinded right now. And they're walking away from the truth with as pure as gold, as it is beautiful. The streets of heaven are lined with gold. And so here we have this precious truth right here. And these people don't see it. God is passionately pursuing them. Just as we were talking about Ramadan, God is passionately pursuing them. And the truth is right around for them because God is seeking them. He doesn't want anybody to perish, but to come to the knowledge of the truth and to be saved. But in Psalm chapter 34, verse 7, it says, "The angel of the Lord encamps all around those who fear him and delivers them." Something. Psalm 34, read that one. It is so good. I wanted to read every part of it. Psalm 91, another really good one. "For he shall give his angels charge over you to keep you in all your ways. In their hands they shall bear you up, lest you dash your foot against a stone. You shall tread upon the lion and the cobra, the young lion and the serpent. You shall trample underfoot." We are not alone. But you don't want to grieve or quench the Holy Spirit in any act of disobedience. The same for the angels. They can only help you to do God's will. So you don't want to provoke the angels. You want to continue to have that heart that is surrendered to God, that is saying, "God, I love you and I want to obey you. God, I know that it may not make sense in my own mind, but I want to obey you because I know that your ways are not my ways and neither are your thoughts my thoughts," as Isaiah 64 talks about. We need to remember to concentrate on him, to keep our eyes focused on him. And then we have this awesome support. 1 Samuel chapter 17, the last part of verse 26. This is where David is is speaking to the man, and there's this big giant guy, Philistine guy, and he's talking to them, and he goes, "For who is this giant guy that he should defy the armies of the living God?" Have you ever faced any giant guys in your life? A Philistine may have a different name, but it's a giant guy. Maybe a giant guy problem, but it could be a giant guy. Giant guy of some sort that is defying the armies of the living God. Because that's what you got. You got the power of the name of Jesus. You got the power of the blood covering you, the resurrection power with you, the power of this living word with you, the power of the Holy Spirit in you, and the power of his grace, the power of his mercy, and the power of his angels. You have got an army, girl, and guys, we have got an army, children. We have got an army, youth. No matter what age, no matter who you are, no matter what race, you have an army who are followers of Jesus Christ. Because as 2 Chronicles 16:9, we have talked about this before, for the eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the whole earth to show himself strong on behalf of those whose heart is loyal to him. Is your heart loyal to him? Because you got that power, the resurrection power with us, and we need to start moving in that and claiming that no matter what we see, we are moving the spiritual realm. Mark chapter 11, verse 22. This is where Jesus answered the disciples, and he says, you need to have faith in God. But really, actually, when you go back, only one of the versions actually, or there's a couple actually, Dewey Rhymes is one of them, that really goes back to the way that it originally says. And there's a bunch of theological debate, but what I've read is I really tend to believe the Dewey Rhymes is right, where it says, have the faith of God. I heard that the first time from Joel Osteen. Now, I heard him on one time, and I wanted to look that up because somebody had given me this verse one time. And it said, have faith in God. So I wanted to look that up. I go, what version is that? Then when I did some research and looking more, and I go, wow. So I came up with the Karen Kelly translation, Pastor Karen Kelly translation. And it goes like this. It goes, have faith in the faith of God. Because it's not your faith that moves. It is the faith of God that moves. It is your faith in him, of his faith, that moves. It is not by your power. It is by his, in and through you. It is by your heart truly and completely surrendered to him and believing and trusting in him. This is why in Acts chapter 3, when Peter and John, the first miracle that happens after the Pentecost and the Holy Spirit comes in, woo! Okay, and then they go, okay, we don't have silver and gold, but what we do have, rise up in the name of Jesus, right, Jesus Christ of Nazareth, and walk. Now, this was a man that was lame for many years. And, we know that if you don't exercise your body, if you're lame like that, they didn't have physical therapy back then. And so you know that his body was not going to be able to rise up and walk just like that. But it did. And he was able to. Then Jesus explains to them a little bit more. I mean, not Jesus, but Peter explains. And he goes, and his name, Jesus' name, this is verse 16, Acts chapter 3, through faith in his name, Jesus' name, has made this man strong, whom you see and know. Yes, the faith which comes through him has given him this perfect soundness in the presence of you all. Mark chapter 9, verse 24. Immediately the father of the child cried out and said in tears, Lord, help I believe, but help my unbelief. Do you remember that? So here we have a man that was totally and completely healed, believed right there and then. But then we have a father that has a boy that needs to be healed, and he's heard of these healings that are going on that Jesus has done, and he sees Jesus coming, and he goes, Lord, And he goes, you know, hey, anything is possible to him and believes. But the father then recognized, well, I'm talking to Jesus. And he knows my heart. And he knows what's going on. And he knows that I kind of like don't have it fully there. Like I kind of like believe because like I've heard these people saying this. But yeah, I'll admit there's a struggle there. I'm having a little bit of doubt and unbelief. But man, do I want my son healed. And he's saying, so, Jesus, help my unbelief. Help my lack of faith. And what does Jesus do? He meets him right where he is because of his love, because of his mercy, and because of his grace. And he heals his son. Jesus knows where we are. Just be honest with him. And say, Lord, help my unbelief. I had to do that many a times claiming those verses. Help my unbelief. Still do sometimes when I take my eyes off of him and I'm looking at this. And Lord, help my unbelief. Whatever it is, whatever that giant is that I'm facing. Sometimes I'm like the Israelites and I want to run the other way. But then when I'm like David and I remember the God Almighty, the creator of the heavens and the earth, that is with me because Jesus Christ is my Lord and my Savior. Then I have that faith that can move the mountains. And then I have that power of that resurrection with me. John chapter 9, verses 2 through 5. This is where the blind man is healed. And it's not for him. Because people are going, well, it's because he sinned. No. It's because the parents sinned. You know, that people are thinking, no. Jesus is basically telling us because for right now, right here, this was God's plan. Psalm 139, the days were already written in the book of life for him when God created him out of love. And this was for right here, right now, for God's glory, for him to be healed right now. It wasn't for him. It was for God. And it wasn't because he sinned, and it wasn't because his parents sinned, and it wasn't because of generational sins, and it wasn't because of great, 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 great grandma sinning. It was because for God's glory to be shown right there, right then. We need to remember the Great Commission. We're learning about discipleship to be followers of Christ. But Matthew chapter 28, verses 16 through 20 talks about when Jesus, and it talks about even some were you know, doubting, and Jesus meets up them in Galilee on the mountain that he appointed for them, and he went away from there, and they go up, and Jesus came and spoke to them, and he says, all authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of age. Amen. So be it. But I like to look at Mark chapter 16, verses 15 through 18, this great commission. And he said to them, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He who believes and is baptized will be saved, but he who does not believe will be condemned. They will go to eternity in hell. And these signs will follow those who believe. In my name, they will cast out demons. They will speak with new tongues, they will take up serpents, and if they drink anything deadly, it will by no means hurt them. They will lay hands on the sick, and they will recover. This is going to happen as we unite, as we bring a unity, not only together with one another, but with the Lord. Is your heart right with the Lord? Wow, watch what will happen. It will be incredible. Do you remember what our verse was, our opening verse? John chapter 3, verse 21, or for our year. But he who does the truth comes to the light, that his deeds may be clearly seen, that they have been done in God. as we receive the power, that resurrection power, the power of his word, in loving obedience to him, watch what's going to happen. And then the unity, four square, remember, that means standing firm, totally and completely standing firm, just as it mentioned earlier. We need to stand firm. I want to go over one of the definitions. It says, one of the examples of foursquare, to stand foursquare behind someone or something means to be firm in your support of that person or thing. Example, they stood foursquare behind their chief. Our chief, Cornerstone, the senior pastor of all the churches here on earth, the body of Christ, our head chief, we need to stand firm and support for the Father's will to be done, to bring glory to him. But we don't have to worry about being alone. John chapter 14, verses 10 through 15 says, do you not believe that I am in the Father and the Father in me? The words that I speak to you, I do not speak on my own authority, but the Father who dwells in me does the works. Believe me that I am in the Father and the Father in me, or else believe me for the sake of the works themselves. When we look at John, I'm taking a break here, that's verse 11. When we look at John 16, verses 13 to 15, Jesus talks about everything that the Father has is his. And whatever the Father tells him, then Jesus tells the Holy Spirit to then reveal to us. And he will even tell us of things to come. The Spirit of truth, the Holy Spirit, is our teacher, is our guide, is our counselor, is our intercessor, is our standby, is our strengthener, is our advocate. He will teach us all things, and he will guide us into all the truth, and he will remind us of everything that Jesus told us. But are we in the Word to be reminded? Do we have hearts that really want to learn this, really want to know it? And even if we don't understand it, our spirit understands it, and the Holy Spirit will reveal it in his perfect timing. But there's power in this word, and we need to be in this power, feeling that resurrection power daily. Romans chapter 8, verses 16 and 17 says, the Spirit himself, I'll come back to John 14, the end of the verse. The Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God. And if children, then heirs of God, joint heirs with Christ. If indeed we suffer with him, then we may also be glorified together. That's why it says to mourn and to suffer with one another. Because we're glorifying the Lord together. We are going to be glorified together. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 17 says, I am united with the Lord, and I am one with him in Christ. We are one with him, but we are one with our brothers and sisters who are Christ followers. They don't just have to be here at Pathway of Hope. And they don't just have to be Foursquare. John chapter 16, verse 33 says, these things I have spoken to you, that in me you may have. In the world, you will have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. That's the power of the resurrection with us right there. That's why we can have peace. Luke chapter 15, verse 10 says that it rejoices, right? The presence of the angels rejoice over one sinner who repents. This is why it is a great commission for us to take that power of the resurrection with us, so that the angels can have a party going on all the time in heaven. You know, we need to do that. We are part of that. And then we got the angels here that are rejoicing, going, party, party. But then they're at war because they're like, you know, at the building the wall, but then they got their swords, you know. So they're helping us and build up, and they're helping us to get those Christians and then to know and grow in the Lord. But then they're fighting for us because they know that Satan gets ticked off when anybody comes to know Jesus as their Lord and Savior. And then he is like a roaming lion seeking whom he can devour once they become Christians. He doesn't want them to be mighty warriors of God. John chapter 14, verses 12 through 15, continuing on. Most assuredly, I say to you, he who believes in me, the works that I do, he will do also. Wow, he did some pretty like awesome works. And greater works than these he will do, because I go to my Father. And whatever you ask in my name, that I will do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you ask anything in my name, I will do it. But he goes on, if you love me, keep my commandments. Remember John 15, 5? I am the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him bears much fruit, for without me you can do nothing. And it goes on in verse 7, if you abide in me and my words abide in you, you will ask what you desire and it shall be done for you. Because you're not going to ask what is not the Father's will, just like Jesus didn't ask what was not the Father's will. He wanted to do the Father's will. Deeply, his heart, yes. Humanly, sometimes express, God, if it is your will, can you pass this cup? Because it's kind of like getting a little tough for me. But nonetheless, not my will, but your will be done, Jesus says. So God understands when that humanness comes in, but where's your heart? Do you really want it to be God's? Do you want it to be God's will? Do you want to work and live and breathe and move in the power of the resurrection?
Yeah.
I do. Yeah. Tired of being a wimpy Christian. I want to be a hefty, hefty Christian. John chapter 14, verses 21 through 22. He who has my commandments and keeps them, it is he who loves me. And he who loves me will be loved by my Father. And I will love him and manifest myself to him. And then Judas, not Iscariot, said to him, Lord, how is it that you will manifest yourself to us and not to the world? Well, it's because we have the Holy Spirit. Those who have Jesus Christ as the Lord and Savior have the Holy Spirit. And that's when you read the word, light bulbs go on. And that's when you can share with others, and the light bulb, you can receive from the light from the Lord and then share to others. And then they're happy. And then they get all these ideas and stuff of how to handle the Goliaths in their lives. And then they pump up, and they are pumped up with the word of God. And they are mighty Christians for God. But we need to remember that the peace that he leaves with us, the peace that he gives to us, is not as the world gives. This is what he gives to us. So we need to remember, don't let our hearts be troubled. And don't be afraid. Go back to that. We have been given a mind that is sound by Jesus Christ. Because we can bear much fruit. Because Jesus is our life source. He is our vine. Through the power of the Holy Spirit in us. He is the one that is our source. He is the one that we will thirst no more. He is the one that the Holy Spirit will come bubbling up out of our belly, out of our heart, with the living truth and the power of the word and that resurrection power being able to move in us and through us, because God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit are one. These things I have spoken to you that my joy may remain in you and that your joy may be full. John 15, verse 11. The joy of the Lord is our strength. So we need to be in this to be strengthened and to be pumped up. John chapter 16, verse 8. And when he has come, he will convict the world of sin. And of righteousness and of judgment. He, meaning the Holy Spirit, it's not up to us to convict. It's not up to us to coax somebody or to make them, you've got to be a Christian and that's it. It is up to the Holy Spirit. We are to present. We are to be love. We are to be his hands and feet. We are to be speaking and knowing and living and breathing the truth. And when the Holy Spirit asks us, we're supposed to be preaching the gospel always and if necessary, use words. And then when the Holy Spirit guides and directs us to use the words, then we use the words, but filled with the truth uncompromising truth. And then the power is there. And then the Holy Spirit is the one that works. Just like the Holy Spirit was working on your heart before you became a Christian. And it's what we should be surrendered to when we go, Holy Spirit, is there anything that I have in my life that I need to confess? Anything that I need to resist or turn from or flee from or stop doing or do or not do or not say? Is there anybody I need to ask for forgiveness? Did I offend somebody? Did I offend my neighbor? Did I offend my coworker? Did I offend my spouse? Did I offend my sibling? We need to be surrendered to the Holy Spirit. John chapter 17 is an awesome prayer that the Lord Jesus said about unity, because he knew the unity that he had. Verses 20 and 21, it says, I do not pray for these alone, but also for those who will believe in me through their word, through other people's words, through your words, that they all may be one as you, Father, are in me and I in you, that they also may be one in us, that the world may believe that you sent me. Colossians chapter 1, verses 15 through 20. He is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation. For by him all things were created that are in heaven and that are on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or principalities or powers. All things were created through him and for him. And he is before all things, and in him all things consist. And he is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things he may have the preeminence. For it pleased the Father that in him all the fullness should dwell, and by him to reconcile all things to himself by him, whether things on earth or things in heaven, having made peace through the blood of his cross. So, 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verses 16 and 18. Therefore, we, each of us who have the power of the resurrection with us, do not lose heart. Even though our outward man is perishing. Yeah, I don't know about you, Sundays I feel that. Yet the inward man, I like this part, is being renewed day by day. That's why I'll be 29 or 30 when I'm in heaven. For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, is working for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. While we do not look at the things which are seen, remember that? While we do not look at the things which are seen, once again, while we do not look at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporary, but the things which are not seen are eternal. Once again, do you love the Lord with all of your heart, with all of your soul, with all of your mind, with all of your strength, like Mark 12, 29 and 33 talks about? Do you? For we are more than conquerors through him. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 10 talks about the life of Jesus may also be manifested in our body. That's the resurrection power. In 2 Corinthians chapter 12 and 9 through 10, it says, my grace is sufficient for you. My strength is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, most gladly, I will rather boast in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Therefore, I take pleasure in my infirmities and reproaches and needs and persecution and distresses for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then I am strong. King David, we see how he was the first king and he walked in the authority because he was a man after God's own heart. Are you a person, a man, a woman, a child, a youth, after God's own heart? For watch what God will do. 2 Samuel chapter 2. David was anointed king of Judah. And it happened after this that David inquired of the Lord. He sought the Lord. He waited for the Lord to answer, saying, "Shall I go up to any of the cities of Judah?" And the Lord said to him, "Go up." David said, "Well, where shall I go up?" And he said, "To Hebron." David continued to seek the Lord and obey the Lord. Did he blow it once? Yes. But what happened when he recognized how he had blown it? He repented right away. He was doing what culture had said was okay for a king to do. He justified it the way other kings justified it. It was okay. But it wasn't okay in God's eyes. It was sin. And once it came to him that that was sin, he realized, "Wow, God, I have mega sinned." And he repented. And God forgave. And he helped him with some of the consequences that he had to go through, because that was already set in motion. But we have power in the name of Jesus. And we have that resurrection power to live in. So once again, going through the slides, 46, we have that freedom in Christ. As we sang that song, "Our fathers, God to thee, author of liberty, to thee we sing. Long may our land be bright with freedom's holy light. Protect us by thy night, great God, our King." Because Jesus came to the earth to die on the cross, and is by the power of the blood that our chains are broken, and Jesus is risen, and we have that resurrection power. When we take the Lord's Supper, we remember what he has given us, and we receive it. Because there is darkness in the world, but this great hope comes from Jesus and from the truth and from the word. And then the eyes are open, popped out, going, "Whoa, no way, the word says that?" Because when they are in the word, the light shines on it through the power of the Holy Spirit, and it will set the captives free. This is how they will be able to receive the light of the Lord, getting these ideas, and they'll be able to be happy and strong in the Lord. And then be able to share it others, because Jesus Christ is the only begotten Son of God. I am the Son of also man. The only way to the Father is through the Son. And he gives this command as well, to love each other as yourself. Jesus is our Lord. He is that refreshing, living water that each of us need. Jesus is Christ, the resurrection power, is four square, and it is that light to others. For he loves the word and gives that light, that power that we are to receive so we can give to others. This is how we can be Superman Jesus's. Jesus is Superman. Jesus is that power, because really, there is no true Superman. Jesus is. And we have these badges. And so men and women, we can go around, and we are the Supermans of the world in a sense, because we have Jesus. And we have that badge of authority because we have Jesus Christ. That Jesus power is like gold, and it can spread onto others as we claim and live with this power of. It is our treasure, more than even gold. And it will shine onto the lives of others, because the resurrection power comes with the angels. Slide 60. And that power is for ours to live, because he is the truth, and this is what will help those to come back. Slide 62. There's many families out there that need Jesus as their Lord and Savior. And it is that light, that truth, that bringing them, drawing them to the cross. Because see, Jesus is coming. The bridegroom is coming. And Jesus loves each and every one. And he wants the bride to be ready and looking for him. He is there. And he wants us to be beautiful and watching eagerly. Because we are one with him in Christ. Jesus Christ is our light. He is our truth. And as we go to the word, we have the power of all the different names that Jesus has. The I am is in here. This power of the resurrection is what we have to offer to others. For he is the power, he is the hope, he is the victory. And at times, we may feel like we're little kittens. But in the spiritual realm, it sees us as lions. Because we have the Lion of Judah backing us up and empowering us. And dunamis means power. We have that. We have that resurrection power. That is the rest that we each can walk in each and every day. So as we pray, as we trust in this word, as we listen to the Holy Spirit, there is mighty power at work in us and through us. For the throne of God, that carries the names of Jesus. Jesus is sitting at the right hand at the throne of God. And Jesus is the living water for each of us. The I am is the cross that we need to lead to people to. He is the power and the victory that each of us need to walk in. Jesus is our power. Jesus is the Lion of Judah. Jesus is where the four creatures and all the elders are bowing to him. Jesus is our power. Pastor Janet, can you sing this one song, and then I'm going to go around and anoint everybody, and then she'll sing another. But this one was written by Melissa. And then Pastor Janet, a night that she was doing some spiritual warfare, she came up with some songs that the Lord downloaded in her, and she wrote them, and then she asked Pastor Janet to write them to some music, and Pastor Janet was able to a couple of her songs. But this one, I said, ooh, how appropriate this will be. And then we will end. But what I'm going to go around and do is anoint you with oil. For our assignment is out there. We are all ambassadors. We are all the supermans for Jesus, in a sense. We are all his witnesses. And we're not supermans in ourselves, because our power comes only in and through him. It's not by might, not by power, but by his spirit, says the Lord. So we are to go out, and we, as our hearts are his, as King David, we can then move as King David did, with that support and that power as King David did. Because the Lord is with us, seeking to strongly support those whose heart are totally his. So we will be anointed, for this is a new season, and God has new assignments for us, for those that are out there. And I'm excited. Let's hear Pastor Janet sing this once.
Though I walk in the darkness, I stand in your light. Raise your banner, a beacon in the night. Though I walk in the darkness, I'm not taken all right. How can I be afraid when you teach me to fight? I use your authority and say, back off. I stand, take a stand and say, back off. Lift your name and say, back off. I tell those demons, back off, back off, back off. Though I walk in the darkness, I stand in your afraid when you teach me to fight. I use your authority and say, back off. I take a stand and say, back off. I lift your name and say, back off. I tell those demons, back off. Authority and say, back off. I take a stand and say, back off.
I am not only praying for you, I am declaring it over each one of you. I am proclaiming this because we have a new identity. We have an assignment from the Lord, and we have been anointed by the Lord for what he is about to do. It's for his glory. So walk in it. Lord, I claim Ephesians chapter 1, verses 17 through 23 for each and every one here. Lord, I pray for them. Lord, you know that I pray for them. I pray to you, Lord God, through Jesus Christ, my Lord and Savior, the Father of glory, that you, Lord God, may grant each and every one here a spirit of wisdom and revelation, of insight into mysteries and secrets, in the deep and intimate knowledge of you, by having the eyes of each and every one's hearts flooded with light, so that each and every one here can know and understand the hope to which he has called you, and how rich is his glorious inheritance in the saints, his set apart ones. And so that each and every one can know and understand what is this immeasurable and unlimited and surpassing greatness of his power in and for us who believe, as demonstrated in the working of his mighty strength, which he exerted in Christ when he raised him up from the dead and seated him at his own right hand in the heavenly places, far above all rule and authority and power and dominion and every name that is named, above every title that can be conferred, not only in this age and in this world, but also in the age and the world which are to come. And he has put all things under his feet and has appointed him, Jesus, the universal and supreme head of the church. Yes. A headship exercised throughout the church, which is his body, the fullness of him, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, who fills all in all. For in that body lives the full measure of Jesus Christ, who makes everything complete and who fills everything everywhere with himself. Lord, may we all go out, your ambassadors, your witnesses. Yes. We are joint heirs. And I thank you and praise you for the anointing we have received, Lord God. May we go out and continue to receive from you and glorify you as we lovingly obey you for your glory. For we worship you, we glorify you, we praise you, we honor you, we fear you, Lord God, for you are the one to be awed and revered. We thank you and praise you, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.